Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, as promised, is David Shapiro, Deputy Chair of SASFIN. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. The Monday morning.
Yeah.
You gotta get the brain working.
Yeah, well, yeah. If our listeners are anything to go by, their brains are working, but they're just not happy.
Active.
Right. They are not happy, and there is nothing that we can do that will make them happy. They've made that very, very clear, which is probably a good time, therefore, to talk about something that can't make us happy and shouldn't be making us happy, which is the whole Moody's downgrade. Can you give us a sense? Because for those of us that aren't involved in this on a daily basis, all we seem to be hearing is downgrades. Can we go any lower?
Yeah. Oh, no, we can go lower.
Oh, that's
you know, we can go a lot lower than that. We're not in throw up the arms type state, you know, where there's no chance of it being the money being repaid. But just to give listeners a sense of what it is, a rating agency is nothing more than a risk manager, and when you lend money, and even if you're lending to a friend, you always assess what's the chance of me getting that money back. You know, you lay out the money and you're saying, if it's a good friend and you know he's in good standing, he'll pay back the money next week. In many cases, you never get the money back. So what is a rating agency? It's nothing more than an agency who tells you what the chances of getting your money back are. So they give you very, very difficult letters to understand. But fundamentally, in the world of investment, you know, where there's so much money around and so much institutional money meaning pension funds and provident funds and, those kind of saving institutions, where those investment committees have to lend money, they need to justify whether they're lending it to an agency or to a creditor who can actually pay it back. And that's what the rating agencies are there to do, to give you some idea of the credit standing of those institutions and whether or not you have a good chance or what the risks are that they won't pay you. Now, what's happened to South Africa is that we've fallen below what you call investment grades. And that means there's a certain rating under which or after which a institution cannot lend to that. You know, the risks are too high. So we felt that's your junk rating. So when they talk about a junk rating, it means we're at a grade where a lot of institutions, a lot of global institutions, it might even be local institutions, are not allowed to buy our debt or to lend us money. I'm trying to put it in simple terms, but that's what it means. And we're simply going down the ladder. So, you know, S&P didn't downgrade us another notch, but we're still three rungs below what is investment grade. And of course, Moody's and Fitch are, you know, those are the three main rating agencies, have all taken us lower with a negative outlook. In other words, saying, look, things are getting worse. They're not getting better. That's what a negative outlook is. So they're sending out warning signals about where we are.
Right. And they're doing it quite gently to some extent, because they're not, it's almost like they don't want us to go all the way into chaos.
No, they don't, because, there's huge consequences if that does happen. Right. Look, what's surprising, And perhaps not surprising to people in the investment communities, is it wasn't unexpected. And the Rand has done absolutely nothing. You know, everyone thought, they've downgraded us another notch. The Rand will now start falling again. Nothing happened. And strangely enough, in the bond market as well, rates have remained stable. But Howard, we mustn't be dismissive. We mustn't just brush it aside. Yeah. What it does say is that things are deteriorating. The outlook is getting worse. And what they've highlighted is the difficulties that lie ahead. And we know those difficulties. You know, we continue to borrow, and the borrowings are not going into investment. In other words, we're not building things that are going to help growth. So that's a big problem. We continue to borrow. They're skeptical about Mboweni's ability to actually cut costs. In other words, cut expenditure, particularly in government wages. And the other is whether we have a plan that will really allow us to grow the economy. So those are the kind of three areas that we're concerned about. Can we grow? Will we be able to reduce costs? In other words, which is really government wages. And the other one, can we contain our borrowing? So those are troublesome areas.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I'm saying, so those are the areas that are worrying the rating agencies. Now, to be honest, if it was your money and Mr. Ramaphosa came to you and said, listen, Howard, can you lend me a grand or something like this? You're going to say, well, I'm not sure I'm going to get it back. You're going to say, well, I don't know. And that's really where we are. The chances of getting it back are over time. It's not tomorrow or the next day. It's over the next 4 to 5 years. And that's what they're pointing at. Where will we be 3, 4, 5 years down the line? That's the worry. So we've got to take it seriously. We can't just dismiss it.
They seem to also put a lot of weight on what the government say versus what they do. There seems to always be this reference is their ability to stick to the policy. Which is essentially one of South Africa's biggest challenges, isn't it? It's all very well for government to stand up and say, you know, we're going to stimulate the economy. We're going to improve employment. We're going to do this. But it's, so the intention and the structures and the policies might be very good. Or might be reasonable on the most part, but it's our ability to action them that always seems to come into play here.
That's the point. That's the absolute point, and that's what they're saying. Those challenges, will we be able to actually do what we say we're going to do? And Howard, have a look at, this is something that amazes me because I read the press a lot and I read articles and we live here and we all want things to get better. And Mr. Magashulu is arrested and, we get very, you know, we're very happy about it and we congratulate Cyril Ramaphosa for taking that stand and for the government for doing it. But he carries on as Secretary General of the ANC.
This is one of our big concerns because it's almost like the ANC is encouraged also encouraged not to have their day in court. Because if you've got your job and your organization says, well, innocent until proven guilty, which is right, but you continue to be employed and to represent the party, what incentive is there for you to go to court? If you were suspended and you need to clear your name in order to be reinstated, then you have an incentive to go back to court and if you are innocent, to prove that innocence. But somehow the ANC incentivizes people not to seek justice, really.
Well, that's the whole point. You know, you've summed it up very nicely. That's exactly where it is, and we're not showing a seriousness to really get things right. There's another point. If your CFO, your financial officer, gets arrested on some charge, he's in charge of your books. First of all. And he comes to you and he says, I'm innocent. You're going to say, well, hold on a sec. Let the courts decide or let's go into it. Number one, as CFO, you shouldn't even be in that situation. It's not whether we're going to find you guilty or not guilty. It's whether you should have been arrested in the first case or there should have been a suspicion. Now, this is the ANC. These are the people who are running the country. And what I'm getting at, I don't want to focus on the corruption side, but I'm trying to say, these are the issues, is that we don't take the big issue seriously. We're not really applying ourselves to changing the course of this country. And that's what the rating agencies are saying. It's all very well. We get in front of Parliament. We're dressed well. We put ties on. We speak. The speeches are made. And I call it the PowerPoint presentation. You know, it's very easy to give the presentation. It's a whole lot of other things to actually make it work, to get growth going and to cut costs and what you have to do. And you've got to take very strong action and you've got to be a powerful politician to actually make sure that it sticks. Yes, you're going to be unpopular. You're going to lose votes. But you know in the long run, this is going to be the right course of action and is going to redirect the country in the right, on the right path. We're not doing that. And that's why I'm saying, take this seriously. Don't just brush it off because the RAN didn't move today at all. There's a whole lot of other forces at play, when it comes to financial, you know, the movements of shares and the movements of markets. There's a huge amount of speculation, which is very short term. So don't be influenced by that. Just think, what are we going to look like 3, 4, 5 years down the line? And what does this say about what we're going to look like? In that period.
Ian says, please can you ask David, what does the downgrade mean for individuals and especially for SMEs?
Okay. What it means, it doesn't mean a lot for them now. Okay. What it does mean is that when they need to borrow money, it's going to become a lot more expensive for them to do so. Because eventually when the government, let me put something now, I should have brought it up straight away. We're okay for the meantime. A lot of South Africa's debt is actually local debt. In other words, we haven't gone into the global markets and we haven't borrowed dollars or euros, which is a very good sign. So most of the borrowings that the government has undertaken have been in rand. And to be honest, if we run out of rand, we can actually print some more. You know, the consequences of that are dire, but we can actually print it. You know, we can go down in Pretoria at the Reserve Bank. They can get the presses going and we can actually print rand. Of course, the more you print, the more it depreciates, the higher inflation goes. But be that as it may. So what's happened is that because it's a lot of local debt, foreigners haven't really been active in the market. They're still there, but they're also – The needs of the government have actually been satisfied by the local institutions. And local institutions have plenty of money. There isn't a lot of growth happening here. So they're not using their money to finance the private sector in growing. I hope this is not becoming too technical. You know what I'm saying? So there isn't a demand for money out there by businesses because the economy is sluggish. It's actually in recession. And therefore the excess savings that the institutions have is going to government. So government can borrow, but somewhere down the line when things swing around, and government needs money, they're going to crowd out the banks. In other words, rates will start to pick up as we fight for liquidity, as we fight for money. And then because of our status, people will only lend to us at much higher rates. When the foreigners then start to lend, they're going to want a much higher rate than they get. And that then passes on to the other institutions down the line, to banks. So for Ian and a small company, you know, at an SME, eventually it does push up the level of interest rates in the country. And we're going to have to pay a lot more than we are paying now. That's why if Ian wants to think of it at the other extreme, think of the micro lenders. You know, if you go into Capitec or you go into any of these institutions, the rate at which you're borrowing is quite phenomenal. You know, that's simply because of the quality of the borrower. You know, because of that, banks will only lend at very high rates. So take that into a different kind of level, you know, into up the line. So it will mean that you will pay a lot more than we're paying now.
All right. And finally, before I let you go, last week there was a very, very interesting list of companies that are investing and reinvesting in South Africa. It was a very nice list in terms of Google. It was all sorts of international and local companies. What did that mean to you?
Well, it's not the level we wanted at. These are not – look, they all – I think sometimes we actually underrate South Africa. It's still quite a vibrant economy. And when it comes to Africa, we're still seen as the choice to be of the country to be in, simply because of sophisticated financial systems and financial markets. And that's why places like Google and Amazon and all these businesses will invest here. That's all very well, and it's a sign of confidence. But I think the kind of investment we need are those that are going to absorb the labor, you know, the unemployed labor. That's the multi billion kind of investments that we need. It's more around that job creation, businesses that are going to create jobs that we kind of need. But of course, the fact that these businesses are here
is
still a positive sign, sure.
Absolutely. Deputy Chair of SASFIN, David Shapiro, thank you for speaking to us and explaining the situation.